The gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23, verses 32 through 34. God says this: Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. The word of the Lord.
We continue our series this morning out of sort of Paul's, the end of Paul's letter to the church at Rome, where he gets down to what it means to really live the Christian life, moves from sort of theological to practical. We're in chapter 12, and we're looking at verses 9 through 21. So let us listen for the word of the Lord. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't lag in zeal, be ardent in the Spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Don't claim to be wiser than you are. Don't repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Don't overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord. So I want to begin this morning with two very quick stories out of this week's news. The first concerns a 72-year-old disabled vet. He was staying in a hotel. I don't remember the exact city, but he stayed in the hotel, and there was a mask mandate, and he was sitting there, had his mask on, and this young couple came in. The woman didn't have a mask on, and so he's sitting down, so he says something to her. And she just basically ignores him, and the couple goes on. Well, a few minutes later, or maybe a little bit short time later, the boyfriend, the male part of this couple, comes back in to speak to this disabled vet. The boyfriend says something to him and then breaks his jaw, knocks him to the ground, and sends him to the hospital. Okay? Story number two. This took place at Walmart. A woman went into the Walmart without a mask on. She has extraordinary breathing issues, struggles to breathe. Her doctor said, though it would be dangerous, she probably shouldn't be wearing a mask. So she goes into the store and is confronted not by an employee, but by another customer. And this other customer, a woman, says to her, "You know, where's your mask?" And the woman explains to her why she can't wear a mask. And the mask-wearing woman becomes so upset and enraged, she grabs this older woman and throws her to the ground, injuring her. So how in the world did we get here? Now, my guess is every single one of you out there, and I want to see the virtual hands. I'll pretend I can see you through the video cameras, have already blamed someone for how we got here. Right? Okay. So, yeah. So, all right. Hold that thought. Because what I want to say is that I think we got here by following what I call the fivefold path to dehumanization. Now, don't go looking that up someplace because I just made it up. Okay? I made it up this week. The fivefold path to dehumanization. And here's what that looks like. It begins with a precipitating event. Something happens that disturbs people or disrupts society. Okay? In this case, it is COVID. The second thing that happens is that that precipitating event causes people to be anxious. Any of you anxious? Any of you find yourself being anxious? Okay. So it causes this great anxiety to ripple through society. The next thing that happens is blame. That if there's anxiety in a precipitating event, someone has to be to blame for this. And we know who to blame, right? Okay, you can name whoever you want to blame. All right, so we blame someone. Then the next, and this is step four, what happens then is once we blame someone, we separate ourselves from them. They're now the they, and we are the us. And by blaming them and separating ourselves from them, we have begun to dehumanize them. They are less than fully human. And so it's those people over there. And then step five in dehumanization is violence. Because they are they, and they are separated from us, and they are really not fully human beings, we have every right to hurt them. That's the fivefold path of dehumanization. And lest you think this is something new, let's jump back into the Bible for a minute. We're going to go to the story at the beginning of Exodus. All right, so you have the Hebrews are living in the land, and suddenly the Hebrews are multiplying, and that's the precipitating event. Because what that does is that causes anxiety in the heart of Pharaoh and all of the Egyptian people. Look, they're growing, they're becoming so many that they will soon take over the country. And they blame the Hebrews for this. They don't blame God because God is blessing the Hebrews with so many children and with prosperity. No, they don't see it as a blessing. They see it as a curse. And so they blame the Hebrews. Then they separate them out by making them slaves. They're no longer free people on an equal footing. Suddenly, the Hebrews are slaves and the Egyptians are up here. And then that leads eventually to Pharaoh declaring that every baby, male infant born to the Hebrews is to be killed. It leads to violence. And just one more example from the Christian perspective is if you go back to first century Rome, the first persecution of Christians happens through this same fivefold path of dehumanization. It begins with Nero essentially doing renovation in the city by burning down half of Rome. The Romans become anxious. Who did this? Nero and his cohorts blame the Christians. The Christians are separated out. They're no longer good Romans. They are now separate people. They are the other. Excuse me. And then there is violence when they are put in the Colosseum, but in the arenas, and are killed by wild animals. See, this is the fivefold path to dehumanization. And here in the United States, one last example is what happened after 9/11. Muslims were to blame, and so they could be attacked. Their mosque could be burned down. This is what happens in human society. So the question is, how are we, as followers of Jesus Christ, supposed to respond to this fivefold path of dehumanization? The answer, I would argue, is to follow a different fivefold path. the fivefold path to rehumanization. Because that's what Paul gives us in verses 14 through 21 in this part of his letter to the church at Rome. And so what I want to do is I want to take us through the fivefold path to rehumanization. The first part is we are to shower blessings on those who persecute us. Listen to this. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. If you remember, the task of God's people is to bless all the nations, to bless all peoples, not just bless the people we like, not just bless people who look like us or think like us or in the same political party with us. It is to bless all people. And so that's the first step, is that we are to shower blessings on all people, including those who say mean things about us, who persecute us. The second step in rehumanization is sharing space. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, Paul writes. Live in harmony with one another. It's been said that we really don't know another human being until we have laughed and cried with them, until we have shared what gives them joy and we have shared their pains. And when we do that, something amazing happens. When we understand that they hurt like we do, when they rejoice like we do, then what we discover is that they are really fully human. And we become reconnected. And that's why Paul tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We're to share space. The third part of this fivefold path is to show humility. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Don't claim to be wiser than you are. One of the things that happens when we dehumanize people is that we put ourselves up here and we put them down here. How could they think that? How could they believe that? Obviously, they don't know anything. We separate ourselves. But what Paul calls us to do is to understand that we don't have all the answers, that we are not completely wise, and it is to be humble. It is to have humility about who we are and what we believe. And when we do that, we do this. We bring people back together again. The fourth is to stop the violence. It is to stop doing harm. If it is possible, he writes in verse 19, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God." For Paul, violence is never acceptable. Ever. And he says it has to stop. Because violence is the ultimate way in which we demonstrate the dehumanization of another. That when we begin to harm another person, we have said this person has no value as a human being. And so we have to stop the violence. The fifth part, the last part, is to sow love. S-E-W, to sow love. Listen. "No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads." And remember, from a month or so ago, we talked about burning coals is actually a gift. It's not a curse. It is a gift of sharing one's home fires with another person. "Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." And the word good here, if you go back to the Greek, is the word agape. That's its root, meaning love. And so this entire section for Paul, it begins in verse 9, "Let love be genuine," and ends with, "But overcome evil with love." The way I think about love here, over sowing love, is you know, in the time of Paul and Jesus, this is how you put seed out. You would sort of till the ground and then you would toss it. You would sow it out. So think about love as weed and feed. It's spiritual weed and feed. That the love goes out and it feeds the good and it overcomes the evil. Love is spiritual weed and feed. This is the fivefold path to rehumanization. This is what we are called to do. Now, before I finish, I want to say one last thing. When Paul writes this, he is not telling us that we should put ourselves at physical or emotional or spiritual risk. Paul does not ask us to live in abusive places or relationships or try to do this in such a way that it brings harm to us. And this is where he says this. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Paul understands that there are times when rehumanization doesn't work. And so you're not called upon to continue to put yourself in a place where you're at risk. Because remember, even the Apostle Paul knew when it was time to get out of Dodge. And so that's the challenge that is before us. In this moment of great anxiety and fear, when we just see, it's such a natural process when the anxiety rises and we look for someone to blame and we separate out. The challenge for us as followers of Jesus Christ is to take the opposite path. It is to work hard to rehumanize those around us. And so that's my challenge for you all for this week, is to ask yourselves, how am I walking the fivefold path of rehumanization? The path that Paul lays out for us, the path that Jesus Christ lived in his entire life, this path where Christ blessed every human being he came into contact with, this path where Jesus shared the space with those who loved him and those who hated him, this path with Jesus where he showed humility by meeting and eating with everyone, this path that Jesus loved by refusing to allow his disciples to dive into violence, this path that Jesus lived by showing love and going to the cross, and even on the cross, asking God to forgive those who had put him there. To ask yourselves, how am I living out this fivefold path of rehumanization that Paul offers us and that Jesus lived? Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you that you call us to be different, that you call us away from violence and blame and hate and anger, and you call us to a deep and profound love for all. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.